Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Haikal Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company which are based on beliefs, opinions and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of the future performance and involves risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Hiremath, from Managing Director. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Haikal's Q4 and FY24 results conference call. We are pleased to provide you with an update on the progress made by our company. We trust that you have had the opportunity to review our comprehensive earnings release, financial statements and the investor presentation for the quarter and financial year ended 31st March 24. These documents can be accessed on Haikal's website and the Stock Exchange's website. I am Sameer Hiremath, Managing Director, Haikal Limited, and I will be leading the discussion for this call. On this call, I have with me Anish Swadhi, our Senior President and Head of Business Transformation and Animal Health, Kuldeep Jain, our Chief Financial Officer, Manoj Malhotra, our Head of our Pharmaceutical Business, and Strategic Growth Advisors, our Investor Relations Advisors. The current operating environment was marked by inventory backlog, oversupply and heightened price competition in the crop protection industry. We expect this to start normalizing towards the end of FY25. The pharmaceutical sector, on the other hand, is displaying signs of improvement with a better demand profile supported by stabilized raw material prices. Amid this dynamics, our strategic focus remains on gaining new customers, bolstering operational efficiencies and optimizing costs through various business excellence initiatives. This quarter, on a sequential basis, our revenues increased by 15% to 514 crores, EBITDA increased by 45% to 94 crores. On a YOY basis, EBITDA increased by 7% and EBITDA margin stood at 18.4%, an increase of 220 basis points. For the full year, FY24, revenue stood at 1,785 crores, EBITDA stood at 267 crores, with EBITDA margins at 15%, which is an increase of 230 basis points compared to the previous year. Our board of directors have recommended a final dividend of 30%, along with an interim dividend of 30% declared in February 2024, in which case the total dividend for FY24 stands at 60% of face value, which is 1.2 rupees per share. For the year FY24, our API facility in Panoli, Gujarat underwent an FDA audit, which concluded with GO483's observations, showcasing our unwavering dedication to stringent regulatory compliance standards amidst a backdrop of increased market penetration, stabilized raw material prices, and an increase in the number of inquiries in our CDMO segment. FY24 also marked commissioning of our animal health multipurpose plant at Panoli, and validations of a few products in this plant have been completed, with several more currently underway. In our pharmaceuticals business, we observed enhancement in both margin profile and volume, reflecting the positive outcomes of our strategic efforts over the last few years. This progress is evident through the receipt of regulatory approvals from several customers and regulatory authorities, strengthening of our customer base across three geographies such as Japan, Latin America and Middle East within the API segment. In the crop protection business, the global crop protection industry continues to face significant headwinds, including subdued global demand and intense price competition. While we acknowledge the near-term industry-wide challenges, we expect the market trajectory to improve in the crop protection business towards the end of this financial year. We are well positioned across our business, both our businesses, for long-term profitable and sustainable growth. For the crop protection business, we reported a revenue of 177 crores for the quarter with an EBIT of 14 crores and EBIT margin of 7.7%. For the year ended March 31st, FY24, revenue for the crop business stood at 684 crores EBIT of 74 crores and EBIT margin of close to 11%. The crop protection industry continues to be affected by the destocking situation, along with overcapacity and intense price competition from China. Numerous projects are in the advanced stages of discussion with both existing innovator customers and new customers, which are expected to come on stream in the next few years and drive mid to long-term growth. Our cost improvement initiatives have begun to yield results, which are playing a pivotal role in maintaining our margin profile. The construction of our new multipurpose facility at Panoli has been completed, with the plant currently undergoing manufacturing qualifications. From our own products, destocking continues to impact demand globally, and we expect improvements towards the end of FY25. In line with our growth strategy of commissioning our new multipurpose facility at Panoli, we are additionally actively working on new product opportunities to further improve and expand our business. Our CDMO business maintains a healthy pipeline of inquiries from both current and prospective clients. Our focus on this opportunity is to work on niche molecules with better margin profile, which is expected to strengthen our position among global innovators, driving growth in this segment in the medium term. Now I would like to hand over to Manoj Malhotra, President of our Pharmaceutical Division, who will provide an overview of the Pharmaceutical Division's performance. Over to you, Manoj.
Thank you, Sameer, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On the financials for the pharma business, for Q4 FY24, pharma business reported revenue of Rs. 338 crore, EBIT of Rs. 54 crore, and EBIT margin of 15.9%. For the full fiscal year 24, pharma business reported revenue of Rs. 1100 crore, EBIT of Rs. 93 crores, and EBIT margin of 8.5%. Operating profits have increased sequentially, supported by better product mix. On a year-on-year basis, the stabilization of raw material prices, combined with a diverse set of initiatives aimed at improving cost efficiency and optimizing operational costs, have resulted in enhanced margins. On our business verticals, for the API business, our API business is showing promising traction both QOQ and YOY basis. Regulatory filings for our business expansion projects in multiple regions have commenced, promising to fuel our growth in the future. We maintain a strong pipeline with 8 to 9 products in development, and we are progressing according to plan to launch 2 to 3 products annually. Our market share in the legacy product portfolio is steadily increasing. In the CDMO vertical, in quarter 4 FY24, the destocking situation continues to impact our CDMO business, with an expectation for industry normalization towards the end of H1 FY25. Continuous discussion with our existing innovator customers and a healthy flow of inquiries indicate an increasing interest in expanding their business with us. Our CDMO business has exhibited a positive trend in the food ingredient segment, with 2 products currently in production, which will reach their full potential in the next 2 years. 2 of our KSMs in phase 3 of clinical trials with innovators is progressing well and will reach full potential in 2026 or 2027. On the overall pharma business, our API business demonstrates promising traction, expanding its presence across geographies with anticipated regulatory approvals for new products poised to drive growth. We maintain a robust pipeline of projects within the CDMO space and actively pursuing additional opportunities that have surfaced in recent quarters. Several custom audits have been lined in the rest of 2024. Enhanced operating leverage within this segment is forecasted to lead to improved profitability. Now I would hand over to Mr. Anish Wadi, who will provide an overview of our business strategy.
Thank you, Manoj, and good afternoon, everyone. First, I'd like to discuss a few points on the animal health business. The development of multiple APIs for an animal health innovator company is progressing well under the long-term agreement that we signed. Our new multipurpose plant for the animal health business is operational. We have completed 4 product validations, with several products undergoing validation for registrations and eventual commercialization in the quarters to come. Our extensive networks and strong relationships with global innovators position us as the preferred partner in this industry, and we are gaining traction with them. Providing comprehensive support in process development and complex molecule synthesis has established us as a reliable and competitive player in the animal health business. Despite some of the short-term challenges overall, we anticipate the long-term to be fruitful. Our company's transformation project, Project Pinnacle, is beginning to yield results, propelling us closer to our goals towards fostering sustainable growth across all our businesses. Encouraging momentum is evident in the supply chain de-risking strategy, developing differentiated competencies, the acquisition of new customers globally, and the building of a distinctive technology platform. As we navigate through the next stage of our strategic evolution, notable advancements have been realized through the incorporation of sustainable practices in our defined ESG framework. Looking ahead, we are executing our clear future strategy and roadmap aimed at making a positive environmental impact through our operations. Staying true to our values and embracing innovation, we are poised not only to thrive in the marketplace, but also contribute meaningfully to a sustainable and profitable future for all. Now, I would like to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Payal Shah from Billion Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I have a few questions. Firstly, what is your view on U.S. Biosecure Act and how it will benefit our business?
Yeah, I think the U.S. Biosecure Act has been tabled in the U.S. Senate, and the initial signs are very promising. It will take some time, but we're seeing enhanced number of inquiries from U.S. pharmaceutical companies, and I think it's going to benefit companies like HiCare in the medium to long term. It is very positive for companies like us.
Okay, sir. So my next question is, how aggressive is China with relation to crop protection business, and does the same hold true for our pharma business?
Well, they're extremely aggressive on the crop protection side, where there's a lot of overcapacity in the crop side, and there is very low prices being offered. So there is severe competition coming out of China. While we don't have the same impact on the pharma side, because pharma, you are bound by regulatory authorities like the FDA and EU GMP, so the barriers to entry exist. So we don't foresee the same level of competition in China, and there's no... The overcapacity exists in the crop business, not as much on the pharma side.
Okay. And my last question is, where do we see both our businesses in the next 3 years?
I mean, we expect them to both grow. I think the medium to long-term forecasts are both very promising. Not only the two businesses, even the animal health business will come to a critical size in the next 2-3 years. And we expect these businesses to all start growing and coming back to pre-COVID type of levels in the next 2-3 years.
Okay. Thank you so much and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. A reminder, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Sajal Kapoor, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Some companies in your peer group have seen molecules migrate from China to India. So innovators have started demonstrating their commitment in specific cases. Have you witnessed the shifting of any molecules or at least the clinical stage projects from China, or are we still in the RFQ and discussion stage?
So inquiries have come, and they are very serious about moving. Some have started to move more on the NC stage, you're right, on the clinical phase. I think they are moving supply chains away from China, and we are benefiting from that. Some are resulting into projects, and they're in the R&D stage already. And even more RFQs are moving in. it's taking time, but it's happening.
Sure, that's helpful. Sameer, you guys have always guided for 15% compounded growth over the medium term. But if I look at slide 15, that confirms the reality, right? I mean, our sales have grown below 5%. And more importantly, our CDMO share in pharma, the percentage mix, has actually gone worse over the 4 years. So that's slide 16, by the way. So how do you read, how should one read into this?
No, I think that's because actually our API business has grown faster than our CDMO business, because there are many projects in the CDMO side which are on the NCE level. But once they get launched, that percentage will go up. If you look at FY20 versus FY24, yes, as a percentage it has come down. But overall, it will go up. It will come back. Once it gets ramped up, these molecules get launched. As Manoj mentioned, we have a couple of products in phase 3. And they get launched up, that's the percentage of the CDMO will increase. We will come back to that 50-50 type of mix where we were historically 3-4 years ago.
Right, right. And then an average investor reading slides 6 and 7 will get the impression that the worst is over and the recovery has started sequentially as we are comparing Q3 and Q4 data there, right? However, our H2 is always better than H1, and within H2, the Q4 is typically better. Likewise, when Q1 FY25 numbers will be published, we'll find that the sequential recovery is not happening because our Q1 is always lower than Q4, right? So, I mean, the whole point I'm trying to make here is that, is it even worth sequentially comparing our lumpy business? So slide 6 and 7, I think it may be misleading.
No, but you know, slide, quarter 1 is always the lowest quarter because we take our annual shutdown also during that quarter. And you know, that's right. The nature of the business. So I think you should start comparing from Q2 onwards, yeah, when the full production is back on stream. So from Q2 to Q4, if you notice, our business continuously improves. And It is the nature of our business, you're right. I mean, historically from Q2 to Q4, we are growing and H2 is always bigger than H1. And that's how our business is being driven.
Yeah, so we don't expect our
Q2. Just to add, Sameer, because many of our, all our innovator customers or multinationals have a fiscal year January to December. So they kind of minimize inventory in December. And so Jan to March, they ask for more quantities. So, because of our nature of a B2B business, Q4 for both pharma, crop, CDMO, API will always be higher, will be the highest quarter.
Yeah, and Manoj, on the pharma, the business has done well in Q4. Actually, if you look at just Q4 YOY data for pharma vertical, the sales have grown at 10% from 300 odd to 338, right? Around about 10% growth in sales, but our margins have improved and our profitability has almost jumped by 50%. And I'm comparing YOY, right? So there is no sequential element here. Is this a sustainable trend going forward? Can we expect the animal and the human pharma to drive the business, and as long as the agro is not kind of in a thrust reversal mode, overall top line should grow by 15%. Is that a reasonable assessment? Maybe not for next year, but on a 3 to 5 year horizon?
So this Q4 definitely has seen a strong recovery because of our product mix and stabilization of raw material prices. Now going forward for the full year, we may not see as strong recovery quarter by quarter. But the trend is definitely positive, and I think you also mentioned a short while back that the worst is over. And again, we will see H2 will be better than H1 because the nature of a business and a contract, it will be a little slow in H1, but H2 will definitely come back much stronger in my opinion.
Yeah, no, so I was not comparing Q on Q. I was saying that year over year, over the next 3 to 5 years, can we drive our consolidated
12 to 15% top line and margin?
Yeah.
Top line growth, 12 to 15%, not
sure.
Even to work.
That's helpful. I'll rejoin the queue. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rishabh Gang from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Wanted to understand more about the CAPEX guidance and the asset turns guidance for FY25 and coming 2 to 3 years. And also, how do we plan to fund this CAPEX and what could be the incremental ROI of this CAPEX? Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So, if you look at from FY23-24 point of view, we have done the CAPEX of almost 200 crore and equally capitalized. As far as the, you know, this out of this, almost 55 to 60% was for the growth CAPEX. The ROI, the commercial supply will start from the second half of the next year, 25-26.
Okay. Yeah.
CAPEX for this year is concerned, we are estimating 100-120 crore, which is primarily the bottleneck and some infra CAPEXes.
Okay, and FY26 and 27, any CAPEX guidance for that?
We are really, as we have mentioned earlier, we are not really averse to invest for the CAPEX unless we have a very good, strong case to invest.
Also, just one thing. On the debottlenecking side, do you have a lot of debottlenecking options, like low-hanging fruits in front of you, which will give very high ROI in the short term?
There are a few. Manoj spoke about some food ingredient products and some pharma products, which are in the NCE mode. And those were doing a lot of debottlenecking. A little bit on the crop side also, where we're winning some new inquiries on the CDMO side. So there's no major new CAPEX that we expect for the next year, unless there's a big new contract that or a business requirement that comes from a customer, then we're not shy in investing. Some debottlenecking CAPEX is where we're looking at right now for 1 year.
Okay, and the asset turns, sir, just for FY25 and coming year, asset turns?
For full utilization, we do, because it takes time to ramp up. I mean, if you look at full utilization by 1.1 to 1.3 of the growth CAPEX, that's the norm, that's what we're working at.
And on a blended basis by FY25 kind of asset turn?
It depends on the ramp up, you know, it will be in that range. I mean, it's about 1.1 to 1.3 in the range.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Deepak Kumar, a shareholder. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, sir. So in the last con call, last quarter con call, there was a mention about, you know, some inroads into the animal health business and some 200 to 300 crore odd revenue potential coming out of that. So, how out of this, how much potential do you see in actually, you know, fiscal 24-25?
I'm sorry, could you just repeat the question? It wasn't very clear.
So, yeah, so this is with reference to the last quarter con call. There was some mention about the, inroads you are making in the animal health business.
Yeah.
There was some extra revenue potential being talked about of about 200 to 300 crores.
Yeah.
So, how much of that is expected to flow in this fiscal?
Yeah, so we don't get into specifics, but as we have said in the past before, animal health has been about 8 to 10% in historic times in the last 3 years of the pharma business. So okay. Animal health is still a small part of the pharma business. We signed a new contract, which we talked about. The current products are going through validation. They'll hit full commercialization at peak capacity probably in the next 2 years, two and a half years. Once they go through the validation process, they get registered and commercial quantities will start. So when I mentioned last call, I said about the next 4 to 5 years, we're looking at a revenue potential of about, maybe 300 to 400 odd crores, depending on how the products pan out.
Okay. And one more thing, can you share some outlook on, you know, what's there in the food ingredient CDMO pipeline for the company? Outlook.
So, Manoj, go ahead.
Yeah, so currently we have two food ingredients with a originator customer, one in the US and one in Europe. And both of them are commercial now. And because the approval process is much faster in food ingredients. And we expect that in the year 2026, they will reach their peak revenue.
Okay, okay, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. So my first question is, you know, if I look at our company on our last 5 year numbers, you know, our top line has grown from 1600 crore to 2000 crore. And in the same time frame, we have spent around, you know, 1000 crore on capex. So our asset intensity of the business has gone up. So can you throw a bit light on that? And I understand that some of the capex is, you know, just capitalized and going to generate revenue going forward. But earlier we used to do, you know, asset turns of 1.5 to 1.7 times, and now we are guiding for 1.1 to 1.3. So if you can, you know, help us understand what has changed, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years.
So I think the asset turns have, you know, things have become far more expensive, I think, from a capex perspective. And there is competition in the market, so that's number one. Number two, 1.5 or 1.7 was on the total capex. It was at that point, it was most of the gross capex. What's happened in the last 2 years is because we've done a lot of infrastructure upgradation also, the blended asset turn has come down. And so, yeah, we have built and we have done maybe 1,000 crores of capex in 5 years, but almost 30 to 40% of that is on infrastructure and you know, maintenance capex. So about 50 to 60% is only gone into the growth capex and all that. And it takes a gestation period of, you know, 2-3 years to ramp up these volumes. And the major capex has only happened in the last 2 years out of that 1,000 crores that you spoke about. So more than 50% has happened only in the last 2 years. So that will start kicking in from next financial year. Some impact this year, but mostly from next year and the years to come. And it is being viewed very positively by our customers, and this capex will get full because customers are looking for high quality capacity as they move supply chains away from China, and they want you to have some ready-made capacity available, which we can now offer. So the chances of winning new contracts is increasing quite substantially with this.
Okay, okay, understood. Again, coming back to, you know, last 5 years numbers, and I understand we are looking at the trough in terms of the cycle, but still our revenue has not grown at a very decent rate while we have done a lot of capex. So given that we have good customer base, we have already have capacity, you are saying that there is a shift from China. So shouldn't we aspire more to grow at 20% plus given where we are positioned today? Because we are guiding for 15% growth, but ingredient for higher growth seems to be in place, or am I missing something?
No, you're right. Ingredient for higher growth is there, but you know, selling prices have also come down in the crop space because of intense competition. So there is a selling price impact, and volumes have also declined, you know, compared to where we were last year. There's been a significant volume drop in the crop rotation business. So there is free capacity, and once we start operating at higher capacity, you know, utilization, I think there's a big ramp up possible in the business, which will significantly improve the margin of the crop business.
Okay.
So we have free capacity, you know, which you can deploy at short notice, which we are winning contracts. So, you know, and we will be able to fill it very soon.
Okay. On the agrochem side, I think last couple of calls, if I remember correctly, we were expecting recovery to start from H2. I think in this commentary, we are now saying that towards the end of the financial year. So is it just the wordings, or it's actually we are thinking that the recovery will be slightly more delayed than what we thought earlier?
I've spoken to each and every one of my customers in the world. I asked them this question, they said, your guess is as good as mine. You know, it's just an expectation that H2, either it's early part of H2 or end of H2, It's all everybody's, you know, giving their own assumptions. But, you know, we're trying to be a little conservative and say towards the end of H2. If it happens earlier, it's great. But I don't think it's going to happen realistically before somewhere in middle of H2, if not early, the end of H2, yeah? Because the situation in China is very fluid. But it is likely to change. Everybody expecting this. But if you notice, all agrochemical global innovator majors have reported, negative numbers and negative growth of Q1. And the commentary also talks in the same lines.
No, I got that. Okay, got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. And good to see the pharma pick up during Q4. First question is again on the animal health. So in your comments, Anisha said that we have sampled few products and there have been validations which are received. So is there any possibility of commercial supply starting maybe towards the fag end of FY25?
Right now we are under the validation phase. Once we validate the product, it goes to the customer. It takes anywhere between 14 to 18 months for the customer to register it and then start placing commercial supplies. So I don't think it's going to happen at the fag end of FY25, but we do expect shortly thereafter that commercial quantity or commercial orders will come in. The idea is that we validate all the products concurrently, supply them to the customer, and we're supplying them in such a way that when the last validation is done, we're hopeful for the first validations that had been done to come through on the commercial side, so the plant idle time is kept to a minimum.
Sure, that's helpful. Second question is again on the crop rotation front. So just wanted a little perspective from your end in terms of the domestic environment from inventory perspective, given that there have been talks that monsoon will be normal and hopefully things will turn positive for the sector, and similar condition from a global perspective. And a concurrent question to that, in terms of the pricing environment, whether it is bottomed out, and obviously once the inventories get normalized, only then the pricing will improve. Just your thoughts from talking to your customers or so. Thank you.
I think I can say more of the global environment because we are not much present in the domestic environment. But whatever I've heard on the domestic side is that there is still inventory in the system, but they expect it to again to, there's a lot of inventory. It will come. The monsoon is expected to be good, but I don't have much to say about the domestic market. On the global side, I think inventories, as I mentioned, there's inventory, huge amount of inventory being carried in the markets. Consumption has picked up, but it will still take a few more quarters for the inventory to come down to acceptable levels. And we expect that once that is happening, then, orders will start picking up. On the pricing side, prices, I think, are not going down any further. They've already hit rock bottom. This is what I've heard from all my customers. And they expect to see a marginal improvement in pricing in the quarters to come. But that will only happen once the fresh orders start coming and once the inventory gets, liquidated. But I think we're about 6 to 9 months away from that scenario right now.
Sure. That's helpful. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Viraj Mehta from DVD Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Samir. Samir, on the first question in terms of gross margin, we have seen significant improvement in gross margin at more than 54%. Can you make us understand, is this due to lower pricing and your cost of conversion remains the same? Is this due to that or better product mix, or has the pricing of the product gone up? What is leading to this such a very nice 54% gross margin?
I think the gross margin is 45%. I just want to...
Yeah, sorry. RM cost is what I meant, 54%, which was much higher earlier.
Right. So we have been able to... raw material prices have come down and we've improved operational efficiencies and product mix. It's a combination. And prices have... selling prices have also not come down. Raw material prices have come down faster than selling prices, and selling prices have stabilized as well on the pharma side. But we've got, in fact, benefit of raw material prices.
Okay. My second question is regarding when you say asset turns of 1.1 to 1.2 times, is this as a percentage of growth capex, which you said is 55%, 60% of the total capex, or is this as a percentage of total capex? So if you do 1,000 crore capex, would you do 1.1 time of 1,000 crore, or would you do 1.1 time of 600 crores?
So it's of the total capex.
Right. Now, even if I assume 17-18% are normalized margins for over a longer term that we do, the ROC, if we take like 2, 3, 4 years to ramp up, is very low single or mid-teens, right? Early teens. So how do company of our stature justify that kind of low ROC for such large capex over a longer period of time, Sameer? That will be my last question.
So if you look at our ROC in FY21 and 22, we were in excess of 16%, right? It has dropped off post that in the last 2-3 years. Once this full capacity gets utilized and comes on stream the next couple of years, we can see our ROC will go up and closer to the high teens. And margins will go, which is the most important metric, our EBITDA margins, will go in excess of 20%. But today we ended quarter four for over 18%. Historically, we were at about 19-20%. We will come back to that plus 20% number the next couple of years once all these capacities start getting utilized.
Sure. So 20% on the overall company, not on the new capex. So new capex will be much higher.
That's true. That's true.
Okay. Thank you so much and best of luck for me.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Ravi Agarwal from Agarwal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Namaste. Sir, my question is, in quarter 1 FY24, Mr. Kulbir Singh told that we have to invest 200 crores in FY, in this financial year. So how much we have covered, whether we have covered this 200 crores and in which area we have put this money?
Yeah, we have definitely, as we mentioned earlier, 200 crore. We have invested almost 230 crore this year, out of which 145 crore we invested in animal health business, the balance in infra and other site capacities.
Okay. Sir, what is the utilization level in this financial year and particularly second half of this financial year, utilization level?
No, see, as I mentioned, this is infra and other debot, which is really ongoing one. But the biggest growth capex, which we invest in animal health, will start giving us revenue in time to come. As Anish has already mentioned, we have started the validation quantities, which will take 14 to 18 months to commercialize.
Overall utilization for pharma business is about 80%, and crop protection business is currently below 70%.
Okay. And sir, after FY24 result, at what time you are hoping that we can achieve up to 3,000 crore type of revenue, and whether we can achieve 6,000 crores of revenue till FY30?
Yeah, hopefully before that. I mean, our target has to do it before. I think next few years we should be growing, coming back to that, 13-15% run rate. So we should be, if you can do that as a math, so we'll come back in the next 3 to 4 years. Yeah.
Okay. And sir, why I have seen that many agro players like SRF or PI also, they are moving towards pharma side. So whether our approach is also more towards pharma side than agro side, because of the Chinese competition, we are seeing that much opportunity there in the pharma side. And second thing, I have read somewhere else in the Financial Times that Chinese new spy rule will create some type of reluctancy for the US FDA or such type of regulator to go over China. whether we get some type of benefit, means Indian industry will get some type of benefit in pharma side?
No, that's a very good question, and actually it is very true. I've heard about the German authorities not wanting to go to China to inspect because of the issue that you mentioned, and it is likely to spread to other regulatory authorities. Customers and regulatory authorities of the pharma side are reluctant to go into China, and we're seeing in companies in India like Hycal will benefit from increased traction. So from the immediate short term, I think the number of inquiries from the pharma side are increasing rapidly. Crop also, there's a reluctance to move to China for new chemistries and new technologies. They go to China more for generic products and old chemistries. So we are getting inquiries for new technologies and on-patent stuff on the crop side. And on the pharma, on both API and on CDMO, we are seeing increased traction.
Okay.
And we have lost capability for new technologies in the company. So we are sector agnostic. We have two verticals, and the third vertical in the animal health is being built up. So we have a pretty diversified portfolio. And, you know, so when both start firing on all cylinders, the operating leverage and the margin profile of the company will tremendously improve, you know, once crop comes back to steady state, which we expect from next year onwards. Yeah.
Okay, sir. On the pharma side, are we making API? Are we making intermediate also, or directly we are purchasing intermediate from outside and we are manufacturing API?
No, we mostly we make APIs, but we backward integrated many steps in-house. So what we buy is pretty early on in the raw materials phase.
Okay. All the best, sir, for the next quarter. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nisarg Vikharia from NV Alpha Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Any one-offs we have in the pharma business in this quarter?
No.
Then why are we so not confident of sustaining? Because we've done these margins consistently from 2015-16 to 2020, 5 years. So when some participant had asked that, are you confident of sustaining these margins, you are not very confident. So what is the reason for that, sir?
No, margins are confident. It's about the revenue, as Manoj mentioned. Our quarter four is always our strongest quarter. And
okay.
Shut down in the plant, so the plants don't run at full utilization in quarter one. So quarter one, we shut our plants down for almost 3 to 4 weeks for annual maintenance in the year.
Right.
Quarter one always starts picking up from quarter two onwards.
Okay, but these depressed margins that were there in pharma, they have normalized now. Agrochemicals, we don't know, but pharma is on track now, right?
That's correct. That's your correct with that. Yes.
Okay. Thank you for answering your question.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Sajal Kapoor, a shareholder. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Thanks for the follow-up. Much appreciated. A quick question on the validation batches for animal health. Would you mind sharing the average ticket size for the shipment of these validation batches? And if you could also share the low and the high range. I mean, are we talking about 1-2 crore kind of shipments for validation, or is it kind of in the ballpark of five crores per validation batch?
Yeah, so we don't get into details in terms of each shipment batch values, but you know, each batch, I can tell you, varies depending on the size of the molecule and the size of the ultimate commercial quantities that the customer is going to take. So they vary. They're quite, they're not in a specific range, right? But we don't disclose that.
Right. And the number of products, is it 15, Anish, or is it more than 15? Would you be able to disclose the total number of validation batches across all products that you'll be undertaking over the next 2 years?
It's less than 15. It's in double digits, but less than 15.
Okay. That's helpful, Nish. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Just one point wanted to clarify in terms of the CapEx. So you mentioned that this year we did 230 crores of CapEx. I missed the number, how much was for animal health? And in terms of total CapEx, how much have we invested in animal health? And is there any CapEx which is remaining for the project? Thank you.
Well, I think we spent about 230 crores in CapEx last year. Almost 140 crores out of that was for the animal health, and that is all being spent already. And this balance was for debottlenecking and maintenance CapEx.
Yeah, my question is there any additional CapEx which is supposed to be spent on animal health, or is it completely over now?
Not from a perspective of the plant has already started operations, so not from that. But if we need to add at any future point, any reactors or some debottlenecking needs to be done at some future date, then we'll invest. But as of now, no.
Right. I mean, so this particular facility is up and running for the commercial production whenever our validation happens?
That's correct.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, and best of luck.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Yug Mehta from AP Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. Sir, I just have two questions. How is the destocking situation on the crop protection business, and what kind of opportunities do we see with global innovators?
If it is specific to crop protection for global innovators, well, I just had a roadshow with my customers just 2 weeks ago in Europe and U.S., and there's a lot of interest to move a lot of supply chain out of China. It's taking time because these companies are undergoing massive restructuring, as you know, but there is, I think a lot of projects will come to India for new chemistries and new technologies. The future seems quite bright for the crop business. It's a short-term pain, but I think the medium to long term is positive, very positive.
Okay, sir. So that's everything.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ravi Shah from Opal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Sir, I have three questions. So the first question was on the animal health business. So you have mentioned four products, and as per the four products are validated as per our plan right now. So, like, are they under validation or are they being validated? Can you just give some clarity there?
Sorry, you asked, are we on track for validation? Is that what your question was?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We're by and large on track. Yes, we are.
Okay, sir. And so, when can we expect to see valuation coming from this segment?
Well, I would also consider validation to be valid, value addition. But if you're talking about commercial quantities, as I mentioned earlier, that we expect commercial quantities to happen about anywhere between 14-18 months post-validation. So I would say in the next, in the next 2 years, you'll see the commercial quantities starting to move the needle on this business.
Understood, sir. Also, I have one more question on the pharma industry. So how does the current industry scenario dynamics look like? And, like, what do you expect it going forward to be?
The generic business continues to grow, and yes, the pricing pressure up and down continues, and that's the nature of the business. But, the volume growth remains, and our strategy is to focus on few APIs and make sure that we are global cost leaders, and that will continue. But overall, I'll say the traction is good. As someone pointed out earlier, that our growth in the generic segment, if you see it on a standalone basis, is healthy, I'd say.
I have recently heard on the prices. Last question was on the pharma side prices. Do you expect the RMs prices are here to stay on the RM front?
So currently they have stabilized. Last two quarters, they have stabilized, and at least we have visibility for another one quarter, they are stable. We are not seeing any increase in raw material prices for pharma.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Tushar Vasuja from Yogi Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, so my first question was, how much total capex have you done for animal health segment?
So we just answered that question, but just to reiterate, we've done about 140 odd crores of capex.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And another question is, how much of our revenue is from repeat customer?
I'm sorry, how much of our revenue is from?
Repeat customers.
In which business?
Overall?
I mean, it depends on which segment. If you look at the CDMO business, I mean, it's almost 100% is repeat because new molecules are about 10 to 15% every year. So close to 85-90% is repeat. Generics, we keep adding customers on the API space. But again, repeat customers, probably Manoj will be 70-75%. In that range?
Yeah, I'll say more in the region of 75% because when the customer is locked in, you have the regulatory approval, they stay for it with you.
Yeah.
And then we keep adding new customers, new geographies. So 75% is a good number, I'll
say. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again and apologies on hopping on the animal health business. So just one thing, in terms of any key starting material, do we have any dependency from China, particularly on the products which are manufactured in the animal health nutrition business?
So, you know, basic chemicals, of course, China is there. But what we have done is we have de-risked China in terms of developing our own suppliers here from the starting material perspective. So whatever dependence we have on China or on raw materials, we always have a dual raw material source. So that's outside of the geographic region of China. So we have diversified that.
And beyond animal health nutrition for the pharma and crop protection, any more dependency in terms of KSM from China?
So I think on the crop side, we don't buy KSM. We buy typically early stage raw materials because they're backward integrated. Even on the pharma side, our strategy in the last few years is to back integrate. So what we buy out of China has come down significantly. And even what we buy out of China, we have multiple sources in China to buy from. So our risk is considerably reduced. And we continuously monitor this on a continuous basis, reduce our dependency on China and geography risk.
Yeah, thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Hiremath for closing comments.
Thank you. And thank you everyone for joining our quarterly earnings call and for our continued interest in our company. We appreciate your support as we navigate through the challenges of the global business environment. As we conclude this call, we want to assure you that we are here to address any further questions or concerns. Please feel free to reach out to us or to our investor relations partners, strategic growth advisors. Once again, thank you for your participation and have a very good evening. Goodbye.
Thank you. On behalf of Hycle Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.